Good morning and welcome to the podcast, Old Friends and New, put on by the Christchurch Ladies Fellowship here in Moscow, Idaho. My name is Catherine Church and I am filling in again for Christine Lamaro. Today on the podcast, we have Paula Casebolt, Nancy Wilson, and Danielle Dickison. One thing I've loved personally about these Facebook Lives is that we get to sit down with two other ladies that we might not interact with on a daily basis. We might not see them at school pickup or run into them at the grocery store. But on the Facebook Lives, we get to sit down and just talk about God's Word. And it's been a wonderful blessing, and I hope a blessing for you all as we utilize social media and a means to encourage one another in continuing to read God's Word. Some fun facts about these ladies. Nancy is our pastor's wife. She taught at Logos for 15 years or so, and Paula was one of her students. Paula was also in class with her daughter, Becca Merkel, and Danielle lived with Nancy when she was here attending New St. Andrews for a couple years. Some overlap, which is gets even, if you can keep this straight, it gets a little bit crisscrossy here, but Danielle's mother-in-law actually lived with Paula's family when she was here attending college. So a lot of fun crisscross. Danielle is a transplant from Texas. She came up to Moscow for New St. Andrews and got married to Forrest Dickison. They have one little girl and another one on the way in January. We are so thrilled to have them here. So with that, we will let them talk about the Bible reading challenge.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we are at Danielle's house in her cute little apartment, in her kitchen dining room. This is Danielle.
Hello.
This is Paula.
Hi.
So I'm really delighted to be with these two beautiful ladies this morning. So I thought first let's just start. Just tell us a little bit about your family, what you've got, and I'd love for everybody to hear. Danielle, you may begin.
Okay, great. So I grew up in Texas in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I came up to Moscow for NSA 5 or 6 years ago, and I met my husband, Forrest Dickison, and we got married, and we have a little girl, Lilius, and another little girl on the way, so due in January.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So we are in the middle of fun times.
Girls. Tell them about the name, Lilius.
Lilius is named after Isabella Lilius Trotter, who was a very talented artist who studied under John Ruskin in the 1800s. And then she decided that she was going to be a missionary to Algeria. So she kind of gave up a life of acclaim and incredible talent. And then she went and she was a missionary in Algeria for the rest of her life. But she continued to sketch and to paint. So she has these beautiful sketches of the Algerian desert and
nature, little flowers.
Beautiful how she used her artwork to preach the gospel.
That is such a pretty story behind the name. Is there a book you can get about that?
Yes. It's the book is, well, there's a couple of books. I know there's a biography. I can't remember the name of the biography, but then there's kind of a picture book with quotes from her.
It's something
called A Blossom in the Desert.
In the Desert.
A Blossom in the Desert. Yeah.
You can find her.
Really beautiful.
Okay. You can find her.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
It's a beautiful story.
And my daughter's really into studying the missionary stories, and especially the women that are in there, so that is really
And coincidentally, Danielle's husband is an artist. I wish we could take you on a tour
seriously
in her apartment.
One of my favorite all time artists ever.
It's fantastic. So really that's that double connection. They named her after a lovely woman who was both a faithful Christian and
a talented artist.
Yeah. Artist,
so. Yeah. So we're
okay.
All right, Paula.
Well, I'm Paula Casebolt, and I've been on here a couple times, but I have a 4 kids. My daughter just turned 17, so that's really, really, really crazy because I remember being 17 not very long ago. And my youngest is 11, so I have 4 kids, 2 girls and 2 boys, and they attend Logos here, which is where my husband and I both went to school, and Nancy taught at. We were just talking about this morning.
Yeah.
So small world.
We go back.
Yeah.
We go way back. And so we have a little toddler
here.
Yeah. We have a 17-year-old over here, and then I have my oldest grandson is 21.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's like 3 generations.
Yeah. She was going to say, she doesn't want to say, but she's going to say that we have a 20s and a 40s and a 60s.
But you never
the whole spectrum.
That part. Yeah. Okay, so today we thought just we'd like to chat a little bit about what we've been reading. Mm-hmm. And we just finished Leviticus, which is a really, you know, I think it's an
intense book.
It's an intense book. Mm-hmm. And when I finished reading it, I think this is the first time it hit me this way, mm-hmm. because I've read it, I don't know how many times. I've read it over the years, probably many times.
Right. Yeah.
But it just hit me how sinful we are. Mm-hmm. And how blessed we are to have a Savior who is now taking care of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just really, like, I thought, oh my goodness, we are so just, you know, all these laws about sanitation and what you can eat because we're just so sinful.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel so grateful and so saved.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, it's always hit me before, like, this is really interesting, and wow, they had a lot of hoops to run through.
Yeah.
And isn't it wonderful we have a Savior who took care of it?
Right.
But this was the first time it hit me that way. Like, what a fallen race.
Yeah.
And if you think about where the Jews were, they were living amidst really filthy people.
You know. And that was something else that I was thinking about, too, was just kind of separating yourself by the way that you do things, and we do things this way because we're God's children. And I can't remember what book it was I was reading, if it was Hebrews or John this morning, but aren't we so blessed to be counted as God's children? He could have just called us, you know, his people or whatever, but to call us his children is a whole different kind of association.
His own special people. Like, you know, truly, it is remarkable.
Yeah.
And it's so good to think on and meditate about that. And when we come to a hefty book like Leviticus, you know, Danielle, like, what's your perspective when you go into it?
Well, it struck me this time especially just how, because before I would read it, I was like, wow, yeah, there's so many loopholes, there's so many things they had to follow, but just how God provided so many opportunities for them to be made right. You know, so it's like there were so many opportunities for them to sin, but he provided so many ways that they could be made right with him again. You know, so that's like showing his graciousness. Even before Christ came, there was the sacrifices.
Right.
And so it's
continual,
like,
cleansing.
Right, yes.
For
just how that
all
was
kinds of things.
Gracious of him to do that, even in the midst of, like, the continual sin.
So you can see that as a blessing instead of a chore. This is actually a way for you to get clean instead of just remaining in your filth.
And the fact that it was so specific shows that God cares about specific cleansing, you know, not just, like, general, you know, it's fine. You know, it's like each individual thing is important, but he also, you know, provides a way of cleansing, which I was really struck with.
That ongoing.
Yeah.
And that he wants to be in fellowship with us and has made, the means, but has now provided the perfect means. Mm-hmm. The others were shadows.
Mm-hmm.
But we just, I just thought how much we can take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if Leviticus points out how holy God is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to come before him, you have to be put right and cleansed.
Right.
And if you mess around, as we read in wherever that was, you know, in I suppose it was in Exodus. If you mess around, maybe it wasn't, sorry. Doesn't matter. You know where it was. Where the sons of Aaron messed around with the incense and were just struck down.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not mourn because, you know, that was, that's such a heavy, heavy part.
Right.
But it's that we don't get to define how to approach God.
Right.
He defines it.
Right. And I like how towards the end of Leviticus, he was talking about all of the great things he would do for you. You know, I'm going to prosper you.
Yes.
And I'm going to take care of, you know, there's going to be rain, you're going to have crops, you're going to have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be so many blessings.
Right.
And then if you don't,
right,
all of this, and I will be walking against you, and I'll be against you the whole time. And,
and
but then if you repent, and see, then
there's
you can
like
come
a
back.
Hope at the end, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I also, and I don't mean to change the subject too quickly, but Hebrews, because at the beginning of Hebrews, I was struggling to keep into it and engaged the whole time. But this morning when I was reading, because I was a little behind, I was reading the last couple chapters, and there's so many testimonies mm-hmm. in there. Oh. And I just love the label of, yeah. and she and Sarah, you know, had faith and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and all these people. And, he listed a ton of people that just
believe God.
And then at the end, he's like, I can't even finish because I have so many stories to tell you. Yeah. And you know their story. Right. You have them all written down for the most part. And then what the Christians at the time were suffering, it with the persecution and stuff.
Yeah.
And they just said, because of faith, they endured these things. So
I think this was my favorite time reading through Hebrews so far. Reading it with Leviticus.
Yes.
And just, I just love that. And then mm-hmm. it made kind of the crescendo of chapter 11 and 12 that mm-hmm. much more.
Yeah. Powerful. That's how it felt. Like a crescendo.
Wow. Yeah. It just made me think, like, how can I, like, let's lay aside all these weights. It just made it seem like all my petty little sins. You know, it's like, why do I cling to these?
Yeah.
When it's like you have this great example of people mm-hmm. who are, like, mm-hmm. cheering you on to do well and to be faithful. And I just, I was just so struck.
With hardships. I mean, overcoming.
With hardships and with just, like, laying aside the weights and the little sins and... It's like, wow. It felt like very much like, okay, we are characters in a story mm-hmm. and we have the characters that have gone before us who mm-hmm. are cheering us on and want us to be making the right decisions, you know, and to be living faithfully. And it just, I really loved reading Hebrews this time through.
Yeah.
So let's talk briefly about, because we also jumped into 1 John mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and knowing about this great salvation, reading Leviticus and Hebrews, mm-hmm. then we have this book about, so love one another. Mm-hmm. So I just, it's an outworking of our faith. If we're new people, we've been changed. Mm-hmm. So we demonstrate this newness of life by loving one another. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, well, let's talk about that for a minute.
Because what does that look like? What does love look like? And you were talking about it's not a feeling or a sin. It's not sentimental.
Right.
It's sacrifice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, thanks for reminding me, I wanted to say that thing about Leviticus, it's kind of gnarly in places, but the scripture isn't delicate. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't get queasy about the way scripture is written or say, no, right. I won't read about such things. It's like we can't put ourselves in judgment over the scriptures. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and when it comes to love, we don't want to be squeamish or mm-hmm. sentimental. Right. We want to love the way God loves us, mm-hmm. which is through a lot of sin mm-hmm. and penetrating through it all.
Yeah, right.
So he wants us to be like him. We've been adopted into his family. So loving one another. So I thought, mm-hmm. we just have a couple minutes, but a little topic. Yeah. It's just a minor topic.
Mm-hmm. Loving one another.
Well, I thought the one thing that struck me was towards the end of that book, it talks about submitting to authority mm-hmm. and how to make that easy. And if we're wives or you know, even single women at home still, you know, the submission thing is a difficult mm-hmm. thing for us, and to make that easier because they're responsible for
our souls.
They're responsible mm-hmm. for us. They need to answer
for
those things, and that's for our children too, and to mm-hmm. be a demonstration to that. So so to me, that was
not make it burdensome.
Yeah,
for them.
And I think that's a difficult thing for us women anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a good way to love.
That's mm-hmm. good. Is obey. Well, Jesus said, "If you love me, you obey my commands." Mm-hmm. Right. So we do demonstrate love by obedience. So that is one way for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
And you see obedience in the Godhead because the Son obeyed the Father when he didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
So he's not requiring of us something that he hasn't been willing to do himself. And
that was a pretty heart-wrenching chapter for me when we read that this time around mm-hmm. about Christ in the garden and mm-hmm. praying and please,
mm-hmm. yes.
if there's another way, take this from me because I don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
And kind of with... going from Hebrews straight into 1 John and talking about love, I was just struck by how Hebrews talks about faith. And it just, almost like you could substitute the word faith with trusting God. It's mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. ultimately, it's about where's your trust? Like, do you mm-hmm. trust God or do you put your trust in circumstances? And so in loving others, especially hard people to love, It's like, well, you trust God that he's called you to love these people and he will bring the fruit about, you know? Yeah. And so that's having faith in loving difficult people.
And it's also not relying on our own resources because we frankly run out pretty quickly. So it's asking God to give us love. So we're going, please give me the love for this person so I can then bestow it.
Yeah.
And it's not just like, oh, I have so much love
to give
everybody. Yeah. That it's not that.
Yeah,
it's like right now I need supernatural love, whether it's a mother love, if it's a neighborly love, if it's a submissive love, in all directions.
Yeah.
We need the author of all love to give us the resources. And that's the key.
And I think that's so encouraging too, because I think Doug talked about it this Sunday, was just praying that God can change your heart towards someone that you are having trouble loving, and to know that love can be, love is supernatural. Yeah. So it's like, this is beyond my capability to love this person.
Right.
So I need your help.
Yeah. And then when you find yourself loving them, you think, Lord, you heard my prayer.
Right. Yeah.
You didn't.
I know.
Do that.
And it's a miracle. Yeah. I mean,
It is.
Yeah. To have to have a heart change where it's actually, this is actually becoming easy for me. And something, instead of something that I have to pray about every time I go into it, it's like, oh, actually, that was actually easier than I thought.
Right. Yeah. It gets easier. Obedience
Well, ladies, I'm sorry. This was so much fun talking to these ladies. We have gone almost 15 minutes.
Yes.
So we're going to say goodbye. And blessings on your reading this week.
We're starting a new, I mean, we just finished Leviticus, so if you're behind, you can jump right into First John today. So
so blessings, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for coming.